QIK, it's Gino and my buddy, QIK Hall of Famer, I always call him, Steve Austin. I've been sharing Steve on my Facebook page and on my podcast. Just the 5 or 6 years I've been here, it's amazing to me the acts that have been considered opening acts for the Coachman Park concerts, like Brett Eldridge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he was there a few years ago. I had the pleasure of introducing him, and he didn't even play the big stage.
Right. It was this tiny little trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
was it like hunting supplies or something?
Yeah, it was. One time it was like a hauler for a NASCAR.
And it's like, yeah, as I was looking at the pictures, it's like I see, like, you know, fishing lures in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when you look at it, we've had Jason Aldean there. I'll never forget that one because the entire little valley there was covered with people. But, you know, we've had Ronnie Dunn on the big stage, and like you mentioned, there have been a lot of big stars on the smaller stage.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to focus on, because here's my thing. A lot of people, like, you know, we put up the stage times for who's going to be there this weekend, and that's all well and good, but I always kind of almost discourage that, because a lot of people will only go for whoever the headliner is, and that's
right.
When you miss some of the magic. Just in the 5 or 6 years I've been here, John Party, obviously Brett Eldridge I mentioned, Chris Jansen, I remember he went on like first or second act, and he tore the place down, and there wasn't even anyone there yet.
You know, I've said many times to people about that show, friends or listeners to the station, that you need to go for no other reason than you're going to see people that you'll be paying $70 a ticket to see them later on.
Right. Chris Jansen, who I remember, he was walking around backstage handing us all signed harmonicas because, you know, he was just trying to make an impression because no one knew who the hell he was, and now he's closing out the ACMs the other night.
Right, and Chase Rice is another one who's just exploded since he played there.
Chase Rice played this opening act?
Yeah.
Wow.
There. Yeah, he wasn't the big guy.
You know, another one just a couple of years ago, Kip Moore.
Kip Moore is another one, yeah, who's done pretty well and playing there years ago.
And this is only like in the past 5 or 6 years. Like, that's why I kind of wanted to tap into your knowledge bank, because you've been doing these things ever since QIK ever even started. How did QIK even get involved with these Coachman Park concerts? Over the years, it's had a bunch of names. This year, it's called Beta Beach, but it's been called, people know it as Fun and Sun. Some know it as Fun and Country. What's the history of the Coachman Park concert with QIK?
Well, from what I understand, it was kind of, you know, some other shows had gone on there, like a jazz show and a hip-hop show, and we wanted to do one that was country because we've had those stations, of course, in our chain of stations here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of evolved from that. A few artists that without really a big headliner and bloomed into, you know, Big and Rich and those kind of people. Another band, talking about bands that opened up, had about 1,000 Horses. They've done pretty well. And
yeah.
Yeah, those kind of acts have been there.
And they were only, what, like 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Runaway June's another one. You know, those girls are beginning to pick up a little momentum. So, yeah, we've had the people there over the years.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite backstage experiences? Like, you mentioned Jason Aldean, and that I would have killed to see Jason Aldean at Coachman Park. I mean, now there's no way in hell we could afford to get Jason Aldean to play Coachman. But
No, but he certainly had the fans there even then. But I think some of my favorite things is like hanging out with the band Perry back there. They played there.
Yeah.
And you know, Billy Currington's one of my all-time favorites. Being back there one day, and that was after, I guess my favorite story from there is, you remember the little incident he had on the lake where he lived up in Georgia, where he went over and threatened his elderly neighbor.
Oh, and they charged him with, like, terrorism or something.
Yeah, he had got water on his boat dock or something. Well, when he came to play the show, he had his lab with him, and he had a big bodyguard, a big guy. I'll never forget that guy. And it was like, don't talk to him. Don't approach him. It's not that he's being unfriendly, but he's got legal things going on, and he doesn't want to talk about it. So I see him over there throwing a ball with his lab near the water, and he looks up, and he sees me, and he tells our bodyguard, tell Steve Austin to get over here. And his bodyguard walked me over, and we stood there and talked about bird dogs and you know, how beautiful the view was. And it was one of my favorite times because I've always been a big Billy fan. The first guy that when I was doing the morning show back in the day with Cletus that we had on the show was Billy Currington. So he's one of my all-time favorites.
And he's done the show several times even recently. It was a year or two ago. You know, he came back.
Yeah, he likes it, loves the venue. Boy, He's half fish. He loves the water, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
Well, you can't beat that view. I always tell people that's my favorite backstage view of any concert we do. I mean, the sun's always setting just at the perfect time before the headliner goes on. There's really nothing like it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the prettiest venues for a concert ever. I remember, you know, the band Perry talking about they had no idea it was going to look like that when they got there.
Right.
And they weren't the headliner. So, again, one of those great acts that went on before the big guys.
What do you think happened to them? They've seemed to kind of like taken a bit of a hiatus and like they've changed their musical style a few times. Do you think they were happy with country music?
You know, I don't know. You know, they were scheduled to play the Strawberry Festival this year and ended up canceling long before it started. And I've heard things from they don't like country to they don't like each other much anymore since she married that guy. But since then, I guess they're divorced now.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is they met at the Strawberry Festival at a QYK concert.
Right.
Yeah, I remember it was a meet and greet that she met him at. And the thing that kills me, I was at that meet and greet, Steve, and she didn't look twice at me.
I know. I hear you, brother. And she is fabulous to look at in her own right. So, yeah, I think they're incredibly talented. And I know they have a huge following in country music, but you know how a lot of times outside influences, record labels, promotions, people can have an effect on that.
Sure. So take us back even further, though. Take it back to the pre-Geno days, because I love hearing these stories. Because, I mean, QYK is a legendary radio station that has these relationships with these artists, and you and Mike Collada and all the guys that came before me. You guys, it was the cool thing about doing all these concerts, and even when we went to Vegas to the ACMs last week, I get to inherit the coolness of working for QYK. As soon as the artists look up and they see those call letters, it's like they're coming home, they're family. Who are some of like the acts from like the early days of the Coachman Park concerts that you guys just remember just kicking it with, and then all of a sudden you remember, oh, I got to perform too?
Craig Morgan did. Ronnie Dunn.
Y'all, here's one that you're going to have probably good stories on, because he's been doing concerts for us for years, and from what I'm told, even in our little conference room, but our headliner for this year, Hunter Hayes, he's young, but he's been doing QYK stuff for forever.
You know, Hunter Hayes is one of those guys that's, to me, in my mind, just an amazing talent. The kid plays, what, 38 instruments?
And
he's a pilot. I guess one of the brightest students anybody ever knew in high school. He's an amazing talent and one of those guys that just has the ability to write songs and record them and has a studio. And to me, he's just always been an amazing talent, and not just at our beach concert, but he's also, you know, can't come to the Strawberry Festival before and drew really well up there.
And I'm told when he was a kid, he used to play in our conference room when he was trying to break through. You know, he used to come by QYK and just play our little break room.
That's another conversation one night, because we've had everybody from Rascal Flatts to Taylor Swift has played.
Hold on a second. Rascal Flatts played our conference room?
Absolutely, they did. Lady Antebellum, Swift. I remember when Taylor came in, and, you know, she's 14 years old and nobody knows who she is.
All right, I'm going to hold that right there, because that is a totally different podcast. Though you and I, we're going to take some time and research it and totally do that podcast, because that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But, anyway. All right, brother, thanks for the input, because, you know, we're psyched for this weekend. But as I was kind of going through the pictures over the past few days and putting them on social media, it's like, man, look at the people who opened this concert over the years. So people, please get there early. Don't just show up for the headliners. Get there early, and you know, worst case scenario, you just have more time to drink.